Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to That's What She Said Sports. I am your sports chick, Nicole Monique. How are you doing? This is a special edition of That's What She Said Sports. As you all know, we have a big game. We actually have two big games going on this weekend. We're inching closer and closer to Super Bowl weekend. But before we can get there, we have to have officially the NFC champions and obviously the AFC champions. And it just so happens that one of the teams playing is in my hometown, Atlanta, Georgia, the Atlanta Falcons. So I'm very excited to be looking at that game, obviously, over the weekend. When it came time to talk about the Falcons, I wanted to make sure we had a special guest for you all listening, and I found that person. She is currently on her third season writing for NFLFemale.com, covering the Atlanta Falcons. She lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, and has been a Falcons fan since the early 1980s. So I know I can't wait to hear how that works with her living in Charlotte. She has two rescue kittens, Peyton and Cordelia. Don't you love those names? That are also Falcons fans and proven on her Twitter page, which is an awesome page, so definitely follow her. And when not working for the bank or at Falcons events, she's serving at Elevation Church or coordinating volunteer opportunities for Children's Hope Alliance. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Falcon Allie, a.k.a. Allison Smith. Hey, Allison, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us here on That's What She Said Sports. We really appreciate it. Like I was telling all of our listeners, and real quick, I definitely have to give a shout-out to all those listening in Toronto on TSPN.ca, Back Sports page, and, of course, Halftime with Kane and Ice. Thank you all for joining in. And so, Allison, I was telling everybody, you know, with your introduction, that you live in Charlotte. How does that work, being a Falcons fan in Charlotte, North Carolina? Right off the bat, you got to tell us.
This year it works a lot better than it did last year, of course.
Right.
But, yeah, right. I'm a Carolina native, so I grew up in South Carolina, and I guess Atlanta was on, and I picked a team, and like you said, I've been a fan since the 80s, and just am very loyal, and it's a lot of fun. I have several friends that are Panther fans, and we kind of rib each other, and like I said, last year was really rough. But we survived and rebounded this year, and my Falcons are doing me proud.
Awesome, awesome. Well, since you're a fan since the 80s, let me ask you, is this the best you've seen the Falcons look, or is it just the idea of they're finally kind of, they found their rhythm, they're in the zone, so to speak?
I think it's probably kind of the top three seasons I've ever seen. Our first Super Bowl trip sounds like 100 years ago now. In 98-99 season, you know, we were 14-2. We really did the unexpected. So I think that was a really strong team. This year, though, I think the team is just so much more united. And like when they said brotherhood, and as Patrick DeMarco slipped up one day and said brothership, so that kind of took on its, you know, a world of its own. We're all on the team together. They do stuff together outside of the game. They do stuff at Flowery Branch with their practice facilities, have some games and stuff that they kind of do and hang out there. But they hang out outside of the facility, outside of the team. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really making them very tight. And so many of the guys are so young, really first and second year players are a lot of the guys that are starting. So I think it makes them closer. So in that respect, I think this is like one of the best seasons and can really grow on. And like I said, the 98 season, you can't doubt it because we were 14-2 and looked all season where we've had a couple of slip-ups this year. But this year we're going to win it, so it's going to be a better season in the end.
Now, do you think – it's interesting that you said – because I feel like I see that, right? I feel like I see them smiling. I feel like I see them having a good time. In the locker room, you kind of get that feel when you see them. Do you think a lot of this is contributed to – basically a new coach? You know, you got Dan Quinn and just kind of new coordinators. Do you think just anytime there's a new regime, or do you think this is just a different feel, or do you think Dan Quinn is responsible for a lot of this cohesiveness that we see on the team?
I think a lot of it is Dan Quinn. You know, he's mm-hmm. one of the younger coaches in the NFL, and so is Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinator. And I think that they've just made it to where the practices are intense, but they're – and I know everybody says that they're the player's coach, but they really are mm-hmm. to where they're – the team have input. The offense will often meet before the coaches get there and start working out some stuff and come up with some ideas and say, how about we try this, and what about this look? So, and like I said, they've set up I think there's a ping pong table and some stuff in there that I think they were late to practice one day because they had a tie game and had to work that out. But I think he's made it a lot lighter, where he's not light on practice and pressure mm-hmm. and learning. But I think it's just light, and again, since they're so young, I think they don't feel the pressure of the Super Bowl. They don't know,
right?
You know, we've had all these years and stuff like that, and they're
right.
like, oh, this is, you know, later in my year, in my career, I really want to win this year. I think they're just having fun and really playing for each other and don't want to let each other down.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. If you've never been there before or have never had that experience, you really don't know how to act, so to speak. So I think that does play on their side. Obviously, Matt Ryan has been there. You know, he's been in the league for, what, 9 seasons now. There's, you know, I think a couple seasons I remember hearing some rumbling, and it was even in the AJC here, here in Atlanta. You know, is Matt Ryan up for the job? So the Falcons are thinking of another quarterback. You know, this is only like his, you know, second, what, postseason as far as, you know, kind of getting over the hump. Do you think this is the best Matt Ryan has ever looked?
It definitely is. I think he last year was clearly just an off year, because even in the 3 years since our last playoff run, he still had good numbers. But last mm-hmm. year, I think just the new scheme, and they were just kind of doing some different stuff, and everybody wasn't catching on. And I think Shanahan's play calling is really difficult, from what everybody said, to understand. And once you get it, you're good. But this year, Matt has really taken ownership of the team, I think, even more than he ever has. And has so many weapons that he can really, you know, see the whole field and knows he has more than, say, Julio and Roddy to throw to. He has
right,
anybody.
Right.
Both running backs have – they often lead receiving in a game. So
yeah.
It's incredible to see so many weapons each week, and I think Matt just is appreciating all that. And, of course, the O-line has helped greatly because he's not worried about getting beat up anymore.
Right, right. Now, with that, you know, in NFL, as we all know, especially if you're an NFL fan, every year it's the whole idea, it's the whole question, who's the elite quarterback? Who's that quarterback that, you know, the upper echelon quarterback? I'm sure we can all agree in the past you heard names like Tom Brady, you know, Manning, some would argue Ben Roethlisberger and Rodgers, you know, he had his moment. But then we got these younger guys kind of moving in. And I've always felt like Matt Ryan Allison was kind of the B quarterback. He was like in the middle. He didn't suck, but he never really made it up to that top. Do you think he's finally at a point where he could actually see the top? Would you think he's elite, or he had to be a little bit more consistent before we can give him that title?
I'm probably prejudiced, so I would say you're elite to moving to elite. I can appreciate your consistency. His numbers, even like I said, in the bad years were, you know, crazy high. It's just not his percentage of touchdowns over interceptions or something. But, you know, this year I think he's really stepped up. And I think, like you said, if he does this the next 3 or 4 years, he's going to be easily in that talk on a recurring basis. You know, there's all the
right.
MVP talk this year. And I think that he can really step into that and be appreciated around the league because he's not just having one receiver to throw to, because he has all these weapons and he can see it and distribute the ball. I think you have to give him more respect for that and,
yeah.
you know, really stepping up. And I think he'll be considered elite by the time another several years have gone by and it's time for him to retire and everything.
Well, I'm with you. Well, I'm definitely with you on the MVP talk. I think this has been an amazing season for him. I definitely would give him the MVP. And I'll be honest with you, it really irks me that even Tom Brady's on that short list. I feel like if you miss the first 4 games, you should automatically be disqualified from having the MVP conversation. Now, what he's done, yeah, you know, it's remarkable. He came in after missing 4 games, and, you know, he's taken his team almost to the, you know, to the edge of the Super Bowl, so to speak. But I just have to look at you know what, Matt Ryan, like you said, having more weapons and where they came from last year, to me that speaks volume. So I'm hoping they do the right thing and definitely make Matt Ryan MVP. I really do.
Yeah, I think you have to look at what Matt's working with as well. Is like, obviously we have Julio Jones, but he also has a lot of young guys line on the receiving core. Third year and second year running backs. So there's a lot there too. He said with Brady, you were suspended. Whatever, you were out for games. Forget that, you know, it's a suspension. Kind of like I think I wouldn't have as much heartburn if it was Derek Carr or I can't think of the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott, yeah.
And because rookie, and look what he did. And Derek Carr just getting hurt really is what took him out of it. But he really turned that Raiders team around. I just kind of have a problem with you getting it as a legacy of Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Always good. Like, you're always good. How are you the MVP? You're always in the top six, eight teams going every year. So
Yeah, and see, and I'm with you. It's almost kind of like, even when those guys aren't having a good season, because let's admit, the first half of the season, Aaron Rodgers was stinking up the joint. But they wouldn't – it's like they couldn't say it because, well, look what he previously did. But that only works for some folks. People never look at, like you said, a Matt Ryan and said, well, you know, two or three seasons ago, he was the bomb. They go back by, you know, what his team has or has not accomplished. But it just seems like certain folks get a pass. So, yeah, I'm with you. I say, come on, folks, be smart. Let's go ahead and give it to Matt Ryan. Now, Allison, recently Dan Quinn came out and said Julio Jones is ready to rock. I know he's been having some issues with his toe, but he is good to go. Do you think we're going to see the Matt Ryan and Julio Jones show, or what other Falcon do you think is going to step up and kind of show us what they're made of on the game this weekend?
Well, Julio is notoriously, he's always banged up because he gets so hard. People roll up on his ankles and stuff when they're tackling him because he just, you know, won't stop. So he's this toe issue been, you know, kind of going, and he'll miss practice and do some walkthroughs, and he'll be, you know, 120% on Sunday no matter what.
Right.
But he's also the extra decoy because you have to cover him. Even if he's limping out there, you have to cover Julio because you don't know what he'll do.
Yeah.
But I think, again, Taylor Gabriel and Mohamed Sanu, awesome pickups in this offseason for guys that I'd never heard of. They have been crucial on this team, bring different things, one's size, one's speed. And I think both of those guys will step up again this week and, you know, really do some stuff for us. Because they
That's good to hear.
As I'm sure you know, we have 13 different guys that have caught touchdowns. Obviously, running a lot of touchdowns. But we have, you know, 13 different guys that have receiving touchdowns, at least one receiving touchdown. So there's a lot of places to go if you either cover Julio or if, you know, he is injured or, you know, can't play 100%.
Yeah. And is it just me, too? Do you think the NFC South, because there was a time where, you know, people would look at the NFC South and kind of like, you know, we've had some issues. But do you feel like even when we do good, or if a team, you know, is like doing exceptional, that they still don't get the love of the NFL? I feel like the Falcons have really showed out this year, but I just still feel like they're still not getting talked about like they should. Do you sometimes feel like, let's frankly, the redheaded stepchild? Or is it just me? But that's how I feel. I feel like the Falcons aren't getting enough praise for what they've done, like you said, with just a really young team.
Yeah, I think, like you said, the whole NFC South probably has, because short of, obviously, the Panthers, you know, went to the Super Bowl last year. And it's been a while since we've had anybody. They had a good run for 3 years. We, you know, lost in the first round the year before that. Then it was the Saints, and every year until the Panthers had their three-year run of the NFC South, there had never been a team that had repeated as NFC South champion. So you're obviously has to go to the playoffs, but we're barely sending somebody to the playoffs consistently, and really the Saints have been the most successful. And since they've been down for a number of years now, I really think that the NFL, so certainly the NFC, looks kind of down on the NFC South as, oh, yeah, they're down there. We'll we'll go past them because
right.
there are so many teams. Of course, Green Bay, Dallas periodically. So it's rough to, you know, kind of
yeah.
make your way in there.
Yeah, but I always
but we
remind
always,
my friends who live in Jacksonville, well, at least we're not the Jaguars, and then that kind of shuts them up, so. Then they're kind of like, oh, okay, all right, I get it. So, you know, the Packers, obviously, with playing Dallas, that was a really big game, but, man, they got banged up. It just seems they were going down like flies. But I don't want to take it for granted because Aaron Rodgers has been in this position before. He's kind of like that guy. He could almost play with, like, just four other guys in him. But do you think what is your take as far as on the game this weekend? Are we going to see a lot of defense, or are we going to see a high-scoring game?
I think everybody's thinking we're still going to see a high-scoring game and that possibly the biggest play of the game is going to be trying to keep yourself on the field longer of instead
mm-hmm.
of having these plays of trying to run the ball on both sides just to not give it to the other team. And I think that's probably what Green Bay's, you know, scheme is going to be as well because, you know, Ryan and team are almost unstoppable. They put up 33-plus points a game.
Right.
Green Bay, like you said, can throw to himself and score. He's incredible. So you definitely, even like you said, with injuries and everything, they're always a tough team that just keeps going. I guess our one good is Dallas really took them – not only injury-wise, but they really, you know, took them strong last week. So
yeah,
hopefully
they sure did.
We saw some stuff there that we can, you know, use in our film and do something with, as well as, like you said, a couple of guys out. I think they got some guys that are questionable that I have a feeling they're going to tell you on Saturday you're playing. So
Right. Yeah, I think this is also going to be a game of where the coaches are going to have to set up. I think we're going to see a lot of time management. As far as you got really gonna have to be conscious of the time and not take the clock for granted because like we saw with the Dallas game, I think there was like what a minute and 30 seconds and Aaron Rodgers came back. You can't do that with Aaron Rodgers. You can't give him any time on the clock. So yeah, that's definitely gonna be crucial. So Kyle Shanahan, Allison, you know, it's been announced he's looking to be the next coach of the San Francisco 49ers. With that, you know, people have come to me, well, man, this is going to totally mess up the Falcons. What do you think about that? Because obviously the relationship between him and Matt Ryan has evolved and gotten them to where they are today. Do you think this could hurt the Falcons next season, or do you think there's enough in Matt Ryan and Dan Quinn to where they'll survive without Kyle Shanahan?
I think what they're, and I don't even want to say hinting at, what the speculation is if Kyle does go, is that they're going to probably try to keep the same scheme, either get somebody that has been under Shanahan, do something to where
mm-hmm.
they're not changing. Because, as you know, as a Falcon fan, in the Mike Smith era, almost every season we had a different offensive coordinator and or defensive
right.
coordinator because they're pulled up into different positions. So Matt has had so many different coaches, and I think that's what's made it difficult. And then obviously coming in last year, Kyle's view on everything is like completely different, so I think that made it very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're so tuned in to what his plan is now that it's a good plan. It's, you know, spreading the ball out and, you know, all that kind of stuff I think sounds really good. So I think that they would probably look to that instead of what's the next big named offensive coordinator to bring in.
Right.
Is try to
right.
keep a lot of that plan and hope we don't play San Francisco.
It's definitely going to be interesting with him being with the 49ers. I'll be honest with you, I was really shocked to see Chip Kelly get the boot after one season. But honestly, after what I've seen Lovie Smith have to go through with Chicago and Tampa Bay, I mean, you know, these GMs are under pressure, these owners are under pressure, everybody wants to win. So I totally get it. So let me ask you, Allison, have you been by, I know you're in Charlotte, but have you had a chance to come by and see the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium? Or as far, I mean, I've only seen it a couple times. Everybody keeps telling me it just keeps getting better and better looking, but have you had an opportunity to come and check out the new stadium?
Yes. I actually have a season ticket to Atlanta.
Oh, nice.
So I've 10 times, I guess, now this year. But it's incredible. I cannot wait to get in there once it's finished, I guess probably this summer, because you can see, I think in November we had a spot where we didn't have any home games for a good while. So if, I feel like after I went back after that, I was like, wow, that feels like a lot of metal has gone up. But I think that's going to be, obviously it's going to be state of the art. Anybody that knows Arthur Blank, he does not hedge on money. And he wants it to be nice and for the fans and the best that something can be. So that place looks like it's really going to be incredible. I haven't been close to it. I've been in Falcon's Landing, as you know, that's, you know, kind of really close to it. I'm close enough to see if I can peer inside. But it's very exciting.
Well, the word of the street is going to give Jerry Jones and his stadium for the Dallas Cowboys a run for their money. In fact, he had – Arthur Blank, the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, had went and talked to Jerry Jones beforehand. So I'm excited because I think I've never been to that stadium, but that stadium to me, I'm like, I can't wait to see. So if this one trumps that one, I think it's going to be amazing. So definitely looking forward to it. So Allison, I want to kind of move away from the NFL just for a little bit and talk about kind of women in media and in media. I had the opportunity to talk to Liz, who's the founder and one of the creators of NFLFemale.com that you've been writing for the last three seasons, and just see how did you get involved with that and how has that been, you know, going for you? Because obviously, I think more and more women are into sports, but there's still, you know, kind of that hill for us to climb. Story behind the scenes, how you got involved for writing. Obviously, you have a love and a passion for football, but how did you get involved with NFLFemale.com?
Yeah, it's interesting because, like you said, Liz is so awesome, especially she's Canadian, so, you know, they don't have real football up there. Obviously NFL. But she, I saw him on Twitter, started following him on Twitter, and I, of course, tweet a lot, so anybody that follows me, just know that there's 1,000 tweets that could come out in a day if I'm on a tear on something. I had some information, was going, you know, talking about games and stuff like that, and she just reached out and said, would you like to write? What's your story? You know, you have to submit some articles to make sure you can write more than 140 characters that makes sense and everything.
Right.
So it was a lot of fun because I've also, Liz came here last year, and we actually went to a game together. So she came to Charlotte, and we drove down to Atlanta. So it was great to meet her in person. And there's a couple other girls that were local, and we got together for dinner one night. Last year, we went to the Hall of Fame. We had, I think, 9 of us that met in Canton and all stayed together and hung out for 4 or 5 days. And, like I said, went to the Hall of Fame and the enshrinement ceremony. Obviously, tried to go to the game. We know how that went.
Right.
But it was great to meet people that you tweet with and have conversations there. It was like being in a room full of yourself. You know, like you said, there's a lot of women that like sports, and that's part of, you know, Liz's reason behind the NFL Female was, oh, I like this team because my boyfriend, husband, dad does, and all of us are just passionate and just all start talking 6 different conversations about different teams, people moving from this team to that, different stuff like that. But it was just like a brain dump of sports by all females.
Right.
It was
really
awesome.
Well, I love it, and you're right. I love her story, and, you know, I actually reached out to Liz and said, hey, Liz, look, I want to talk to somebody about the Falcons. I know you know someone, and right away she's like, yep, I got just a person for you. So to have that kind of person you can go to and then to get connected with you is just awesome. So because I told her, I'm one of these times I'm going to have to go with you all to Canton, because my goal is, my husband knows on my bucket list, when Peyton Manning gets enshrined and gets ready for the Hall of Fame, I got to be there. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I don't care if I have to jump a fence. I definitely have to be there. So,
like us, we will likely still be going, so come stay with us.
Yeah. Awesome. So, all right, so let's, you know, I always love predictions or kind of hear what people – can you kind of give me an idea of what score are you thinking between the Falcons and the Packers? What's your final score?
I hope this is not it because I don't know if I can handle the stress, but a prediction that's probably more accurate than my dream would be 33-30, the Falcons.
Nice. Well, if it's anything like that – that like that Dallas game with the Packers, I truly think it's going to be a nail biter. I really do. I think this is going to be a good old fashioned slugfest, which I'm looking forward to. That just makes the game even better. So, but yeah, I love it. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. And just sending prayers out there to the football gods that nobody gets hurt, because if they go to the Super Bowl, we need everybody to be healthy.
Exactly. We're going to the Pro Bowl this year. Again, NFL female Liz started it, and several of us are going there. And I'm like,
okay.
I'm so excited, and it's your slam because I'm in Atlanta every weekend now for the playoff games, and then I have the Pro Bowl, and then it'll be the next week, it'll be the Super Bowl. And I'm like, and now I'm not even going to get to see any of my Falcons play. So that actually makes me more confident, because that is how the football gods would do is, oh, you're going to the
right.
Pro Bowl the first year. None of your team's going to be there. So I'm like, I'm okay with
right,
that. If
right.
that's no.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, definitely have to let us know how everything goes with the Pro Bowl and everything. Take some good pictures.
I definitely will. Because there'll still obviously be a couple of good players there, so it'll be very exciting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, Allison, tell everybody where they can follow you, where they can find you, read some of your articles and all that good stuff.
Sure. All my articles are on NFLfemale.com, and you can search on the left side by the different divisions and teams, and obviously I'm for the Atlanta Falcons. And on Twitter, I am at Falcon Alley, and like I said, I tweet during the games. I listen to sports radio all the time, so I'm getting all their good inside information and interviews and stuff, so definitely follow that. And not even just during the football season, I plan to have a lot of stuff up in the off season this year that I've kind of been
mm-hmm.
collecting along the way to keep football alive over the summer.
Awesome.
So,
awesome. Well, I can't thank you enough for being on That's What She Said Sports. Definitely want to have you back, especially if the Falcons go to the Super Bowl, we'll have to have you back so we can find out how everything went to Pro Bowl and your take on the Super Bowl. So I really appreciate you being on the show. It really means a lot, and such good information too.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for having me. Obviously, I love to talk Falcons football and love to talk to other ladies that love football.
Definitely, definitely. All right, folks, it's Allison Smith, again, writer for NFLfemale.com. Check her out on Twitter at Falcon Alley. Thanks, Allison.
Thank you.
All right, folks, and remember, throughout the week, you can catch me, Nicole Monique, host of That's What She Said Sports on TSPN.ca. Again, shout out to all my folks in Toronto, the Back Sports page, and then Halftime with Cane and Ice. And you can also follow me on Twitter at TWSS Sports. And this has been an awesome show. Definitely a joy to meet with Allison and meeting more and more women in sports. So if you're out there on Twitter, definitely give me a follow so we can connect. And remember, catch the game this weekend. You have the Falcons and the Packers, and then you also have the Patriots and the Steelers. And let me know if your team wins. As always, have an awesome week and an awesome weekend, and be safe. Talk to you later.